with Kevin Quinley, founder and principal of Quinley Risk Associates, and today we're talking about claim file documentation. So can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Absolutely. I've worked in claims for almost four decades. In fact, next Tuesday will mark the 40-year anniversary being in the claims business. Spent about 30-plus years in a corporate capacity. Over 5 years ago, I launched a claims consulting practice, and I've got clients across the country. And I've had a parallel career as an author in the claims field. I've written 10 books and over 700 articles on claims and various aspects of claims, litigation management, and risk management.
So tell me why claim file documentation is such a touchy subject with adjusters.
Well, it does get under their skin, and few topics are likely to boil an adjuster's blood as the subject of skimpy claim notes. I know that from serving as an expert witness on bad faith cases. But you've got auditors, home offices, bosses, bad faith attorneys, often passing judgment on documentation, or lack of it, months or years after the adjuster has handled a claim. It seems like adjusters never have enough documentation, and they're often criticized for inadequate detail. Now, to me, this isn't surprising. You know, an adjuster's scarcest resource is time. And in the hustle and bustle, ebb and flow of busy, if not sometimes frantic, work days, you know, adjusters have to decide on the fly how to use their limited time. You know, we've got to make snap decisions. I've walked in those shoes. I've been an adjuster. You ask yourself, consciously or not, hey, do I spend my time investigating, evaluating, and negotiating claims, trying to close files, manage my pending and workload, or do I spend time documenting the file?
So does claim file documentation have a resource aspect, and, you know, can improved documentation undermine claims handling in other areas?
I think it can, and it goes back to this idea of time being a fixed and finite resource for adjusters. Adjusters can use that limited time to either document or to do. Document or do. The do addresses core adjusting functions. Now, clearly, there's a happy medium. It's not a binary either-or choice, and life involves trade-offs, and this is part of the adjuster's professional world. But in a sense, the adjuster's workday is a zero-sum game. What I mean by that is that time they spend beautifying files for auditors, regulators, and supervisors, you know, may be totally defensible, but that's time adjusters can't use. Those are minutes, those are hours they can't use to investigate, evaluate, and negotiate claims. So look at it this way. Adjusters could excel in meticulously documenting what they've done. But if in the process they have little time to do or less time to do the other critical things, what's the point? There's a study I read, or a case study I read a while back, about a British bus driver. And he was summoned, called on the carpet by his bosses for blowing right past his designated stops, stranding the passengers who were waiting. He was called to task by the bosses, and he explained that if he had to make his required time checkpoints, he couldn't afford to stop for passengers. Meeting the schedule became an end unto itself, with the main thing, that is, transporting passengers, lost in the process because of the schedule and checkpoints that he had to hit from his bosses. So for adjusters, the main things are not picking up passengers, but they're investigating, evaluating, and negotiating. And time spent on these tasks takes time from file documentation. And so if adjusters spent as much time documenting files and updating claim progress notes as the so-called quote-unquote authorities say they should, they'd probably have little time, certainly less time, to investigate, evaluate, and negotiate. Yeah, they'd get high marks for file documentation, but they might expose themselves to bigger, more high-octane bad faith claims for inadequate investigation, shoddy evaluation, and failure to negotiate. So there's often insufficient time to do all of these well. So adjusters make on-the-fly decisions about prioritizing. You know, what's good about thoroughly documenting claim files if, in so doing, adjusters neglect their core job responsibilities? A rhetorical question, but one which frames the quandary that adjusters find themselves in.
So are other professions grappling with similar documentation problems?
I think so. Let me offer two examples, quick examples, one from medicine and one from teaching. When I see my family doctor, who, you know, I like a lot, he comes into the room and he sits down in front of a computer terminal. And most of the times, his eyes are on the computer monitor, and he's entering data and he's entering notes into the computer as I'm talking. Now, I'm not complaining because he is really good at toggling his attention between me and the computer. But still, because of charting requirements, charting imperatives, the doctor-patient exchange, I think, loses something. The documentation fetish, which is somewhat understandable in a medical malpractice setting, has shifted a doctor's focus many times from patients toward the charts. And I think we've got to ask ourselves, is that a good thing? I had a shoulder injury a few years ago from playing racquetball, so I had to see an orthopedic specialist. His approach was different, I noticed. He comes into the exam room, and trailing him was a scribe. That is, as he examined me and we talked and he made observations, the scribe standing nearby took notes, and that freed the doctor to focus on patients. Example number two from teaching and education. I know a lot of dedicated public school teachers, but frankly, and this is all admittedly anecdotal, most of the ones I know, they're burnout cases. They're counting the days till they're eligible for retirement. And the biggest reason I hear from them is the data entry, the data capture, the documentation they're required to keep for various reasons. All of this cuts into lesson planning time, teaching time, professional development, but the system requires data, and the teachers have to stay on top of the data, even if the time and resources left available to teach diminishes. So these are two examples from other professions, I think, where the preoccupation with documentation leads to the tail wagging the dog.
So what about the saying, if it's not documented in the claim file, it didn't happen?
Well, that's a popular saying. You hear it a lot. As an expert testifying on bad faith cases around the country, this comes up a lot. And I realized this maxim probably grew up in the area of healthcare, where, you know, you've got life and death situations frequently. But in the claims realm, though, is it really true? I think it's more aspirational than descriptive of the real world. You know, what if the adjuster omitted something from a claims progress note, but recalls doing it anyway? Or what if the adjuster's routine included taking a statement, making a call, making a settlement offer? What if there's other evidence, such as a coworker's recollection, that an adjuster did an action that wasn't in the progress notes? Does a firefighter pause periodically while battling the blaze to document what he or she has done? Let's see, I unrolled the fire hose, then I turned on the pump, and then I aimed the nut. No, but if those steps aren't documented, does that mean the firefighter never extinguished the flames? My point here is that the absence of evidence isn't evidence of absence. In a perfect world, we'd want every step the adjuster took to be in the file notes. In the real world, life happens. So this mantra, if it's not in the claim file, it never happened, I don't think is necessarily a standard of care. It is something that is repeated and conveyed to adjusters to underscore the importance of reasonable claim file documentation. But it's a bit of a hyperbole, and I think not necessarily to be taken literally.
So how detailed should adjuster notes be?
Great question, and I think often lost in this whole discussion about claim file documentation is the fact that adjuster file notes are not transcripts. They're not psychological journals necessarily containing an adjuster's innermost thoughts. You know, they're not diaries. It, combined with other file documentation, though, adjuster notes should let anyone picking up a file review it, see what's happened, and the general direction where the case is headed, whether that's settlement, whether it's defense, whether it's further fact-finding to crystallize those issues. The point here, I think, is let's not view adjuster notes in isolation. Let's see them as part of the claim file, which meet and strive for a standard of reasonableness. That could be letters to and from attorneys, emails to and from attorneys and other constituencies on the file, reports, pleadings, and related documents. So in isolation, the adjuster's file notes may provide, you know, very little narrative. But when you combine those with other documents, a file reviewer should be able to piece together what's happened, where the case is headed. And those external constituencies include regulators, claim auditors, brokers, actuaries, and perhaps eventually, we hope not, bad faith attorneys. So a lot of the criticism of skimpy adjuster documentation, I think, presumes a claim department and adjuster's work environment where adjusters enjoy monastic solitude, quiet and cloistered, working on only one file the whole time. That's fantasy. That's fiction. You know, adjusters' ecosystems aren't like cloistered monasteries. They're more sometimes like emergency rooms. Sensory overload abounds. You've got phones ringing. You've got computer chimes signaling new email, beeps serving as reminders. A red light is flashing on your phone, reminding you of voicemail messages in the queue. People drop off stacks of paper or other memos to adjusters are standing at your desk or workstation waiting to talk to you. And, oh, by the way, you're late to a department meeting. You know, adjusters don't have the luxury of saying, stop the world, I want to get off. I must update my claim progress notes. The world of the adjuster doesn't stop because the adjuster needs to update claim notes, and it's really not realistic for them to expect them to do so. You know, some examples would be conversations between adjusters and their supervisors that happen at water coolers, in hallways, settings that don't lend themselves to sitting down and noting it. By the time adjusters get back to their keyboards to archive the exchange, some new distraction grabs their attention. So today's adjusters in their work environment, like a lot of knowledge workers, they struggle with cognitive overload. So I think the question is, are we adjusters or are we archivists for future generations of claim auditors and bad faith lawyers who years later will sit in judgment of what was done? Don't get me wrong, meticulous and reasonable claim file documentation is a worthy aim, but I guess if they don't take away anything else from my comments today, it's that it's an aspirational target. While many claim manuals, many guidelines mandate recording every adjuster action, that's not realistic, and I think the authors of these are often people far removed from the frontline trenches. They don't do the work.
So do you think there's a disconnect between, you know, management who wants thorough documentation and frontline claim staff charged with meeting that standard?
The short answer is yes. Somebody cited what's called the bureaucrat's law, which is nothing is impossible to the man who doesn't have to do it himself. Now, some people counter that it's not an either or choice. It's not a binary choice. It's not a matter of either documenting or doing substantive claims handling. It's a matter of balance. And I agree with that. That is true. But my point is that if adjusters in their limited time have to make snap decisions, which part of the scales get compromised? Is it the documentation or is it the claims handling? What is more important, doing or documenting? Again, rhetorical questions, but ones highlighting the challenges of meeting an exalted standard, I think an unrealistic standard of adjuster file notation.
So is this a manifesto for skimping on claim file documentation?
No, not really. This is not to say that adjusters should toss their claim notes or stop documenting claim files, not at all. But my point is, let's put adjuster notes in context, weighing the risk of skimpy documentation versus what I view as the larger perils of neglecting those fundamental pillars of the adjuster's job, evaluating, investigating, and where appropriate, negotiating.
And so do you have any tips on how adjusters can up their game when it comes to claims file documentation?
I do. Let me offer five quick ones, Denise. Number one, management should establish realistic caseloads. Overloaded adjusters are reduced to firefighting, and with reasonable caseloads, they have more time to record their activities in the claims log or notes. Two is to provide periodic training on the importance of documentation. Now, this isn't rocket science, but remind adjusters how skimpy documentation can undermine defense of a later bad faith claim. And this should be periodic training, not just one-off. Number three, view adjuster notes in the broader context of other file documentation. Like tiles in a mosaic, I think adjuster notes are just part of the picture and a fraction of claim file documentation. Four, make the main things the main things. That is, investigating, evaluating, and negotiating are the holy trinity, if you will, of adjuster functions. And if anything has to be sacrificed, don't sacrifice those. If you're going to sacrifice, make it on the documentation side. Better to take your chances on criticism on documentation than being nailed for failure to fact find, failure to realistically evaluate a claim, or failure to negotiate when you should have. And fifth, harness technology. You know, law enforcement officials increasingly wear body cameras, but these aren't part of the adjuster's business casual or formal attire, at least not yet. That said, adjusters, I think, can use technology, and claim offices can use it, to boost file documentation and file notes. This includes voice recognition software. There are services where adjusters can dial a phone number, dictate their progress notes on a case or comments that enter the file with a date stamp. Most smartphones these days let you record your thoughts. You can send these to yourself by email or by text. So those are five quick tips on how adjusters can up their game in this area.
And do you have any closing thoughts?
I just leave you with this. There's a saying, if it's not in the claim file, it didn't happen. That's a sacred cow in the adjusting world. I'm challenging that notion today, and anyway, I hear that sacred cows make great steaks.
And finally, if people want to contact you to follow up, what's the best way to do that?
Sure. They can go to my website at www.kevinquinley.com. I'm on Twitter at Claims Coach, that's one word, Claims Coach, and Quinley Risk Associates is also on Facebook.
Thank you. Kevin Quinley, founder and principal of Quinley Risk Associates.